Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, which means so much. And you always want to go someplace that has a great service department with first-class technicians to back up that purchase you've made. And they've got it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Let's set the tone for the show. Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody Wang Chung tonight. By getting you to the Mac Trillo rant of the day.
Bingo!
Well, I just hope Juju Smith-Schuster just feels good about himself and is enjoying himself today. After his little Happy Valentine's Day tweet, little shot at James Bradbury. For a guy that did literally nothing in the Super Bowl until that point, to say, I'll hold you when it matters most. Cute. A little uncalled for, a little tasteless. Meanwhile, the Eagles have been been answering every question, losing gracefully, while the Chiefs enjoy their Super Bowl parade today. So I just hope Juju feels good about himself after that nice little childish, tasteless outburst he decided to have on Valentine's Day yesterday. That's all.
A little touchy. I mean, it's Valentine's Day.
I still enjoyed mine, but obviously Juju Smith-Schuster doesn't have anybody else to celebrate it with except ripped on James Bradbury. That's all.
You seem a little touchy here. It's, you know, I was a little worried about how you're handling this. I actually had students that missed class on Monday because they were distraught.
I'm sure that includes that fellow Eagles fan.
No, they were all Eagles fans.
Oh.
I had only about half a class. So guess what the start of today's lecture was? I said, guess what? Okay, you have a job? I said, you can do class any way you want. I said, but you have a job? Your obligation is to show up your job. I looked at him. I said, do you know any games I've done in my career where there have been great wins, okay wins, and some really tough losses? I said, and you know what I did after every single tough loss? I showed up the next day for work because guess what? That's what's expected of me. I said, if you're going to carry that attitude in life, I said, you're going to wonder why somebody is standing someplace and you're not. I said you cannot let stuff like that get to you. I said, you've got to be able to go, okay, well, time to carry on to the next thing. You had nothing to do with the winning and losing. Zero.
Well, that's very true.
I told him that. I said, yeah. You have nothing to do with the winning and losing. I said, guess what? What's your responsibility? Your responsibility is not to be in the fetal position in life. Your responsibility is to go, okay, all right, that really stunk. Man, that really ticks me off. All right, what do I got to do today?
Yeah, I showed up and did the show on Monday.
Oh, no, you were great. No, you were great. You know, and really extremely entertaining.
There you go, but I did what I was supposed to. I showed up and I was entertaining as I could.
No, you were great. I mean, not just good, you were great. That was, you know, but that's what I talked to him about. I said, you're broadcasting for a team I said, but the Eagles lost the game. I said, well, you're not going to do the game that night? You're going to show up to do the game the next day? I no, I really can't. The Eagles lost. Could somebody fill in for me? That'd be great. I said, no. It's like, it's your responsibility. I said, chop, chop. That's what I told them. That was actually the, because I had half had I had half the class out. I already had one person tell me that if the Eagles won, I am not going to be in class on Monday, so I'm going to be at the victory parade. I looked at them like, really? You know, my, and again, it's a classroom, so it's their choice. They can choose how they want to do it. And I've told them at the beginning of the very first class, I said, I teach class once. I said, do not get in touch with me at all about what you missed. Now, there are certain exceptions, obviously. There are certain exceptions. Somebody gets really sick, they're out, you know, that's different. Going to the Eagles victory parade, don't even attempt to even consider emailing me. I will not give you anything at all because you elected not to be there when I talked about it. But that was today's lecture in class. Like, guys, you got to, you have nothing to do with the winning and losing. Zero. Okay. I says, come on. I mean, did you call the timeout in the third quarter? Your coach did. So you showed up.
I did.
I don't know why. No, I just I'm just kidding. Let's see. The Jalen Pickett had the 41 last night.
Yeah, he showed up last night.
The maybe the best single performance in the 41 years I've done this that I've ever seen a Penn State player have. If you are getting, you want to know what gets you to gigantic money in the NBA? What gets you to gigantic money in the NBA is if you can average right around 1.5 points a shot. Jalen Pickett last night averaged 2 points a shot. He had 20 shots last night. This is not somebody who went out and got his 41 points and took 35 shots to get there. No. He went out and took 20 shots last night, made 15 of them, scored 41 points. He had 6 free throws, hit 5 threes. And by the way, this is one of the reasons why I think it's maybe the best single game I've ever seen a Penn State player have. And that includes the 31 Joe Crispin had it at Kentucky. Is because he dished out 8 assists last night, too. That's what struck me. I mean, he had 8 assists last night. And that was a win they had to have. That was a quad one win. And again, quad one is a home win over a team in the top 30, neutral against a 50, and on the road, anybody inside a 75. All right. So Penn State has... Now, they've got, number one, they've got to win the first game. They've got to beat Minnesota. I don't care what's going on in Minnesota right now. I know they've had some guys out. Carrington's been out. Garcia's been out. I don't know if they're back or not. They were supposed to play tonight. The game has been postponed. We're going to talk to Chris Solari about that in a few minutes. But you have to win the game. You cannot, like, botch everything up and lose that game on Saturday night. You just can't. Then after that, every other game they have down the stretch, the four after that, they're all quad one games. They're all quad one games. And the significance of quad one is quite simple. By winning quad one games, that then tells the committee that you can beat other teams in the field. That's the significance of quad one. Yeah, it tells them, the question is, can you beat other teams in the field? Okay. You go out and get 5, 6, 7 quad one wins, that tells them that you can beat other teams in the field. And that's, you know, and last night was a quad one. So they get that win, and now they go to Minnesota. But again, Minnesota, I don't care what their record is. I don't care how much they're struggling. I don't care what the injury situation is. Penn State's got to win the game. Just have to. But 41 last night, it's the first 40-point game for Penn State in 62 years. Gene Harris was the last. He had 46, which is the school record, by the way. Fabulous performance. And when they needed it. But they shot well. I mean, they shot well in the game. All the way through. The defense in the second half was way better. Defense in the first half was okay. Second half defense, pretty good defensively in the second half, to be honest with you. In fact, Illinois actually upped their shooting percentage in the second half only because they hit a couple shots with the reserves late in the game. Meanwhile, in Madison, here's another quick point I'll make about it. It was a great game for the Big Ten last night because the game was on ESPNU last night. Because here it is, was a game with flow, athleticism, because I'll tell you, Coleman Hawkins as an athlete, holy mackerel. Terrence Shannon as an athlete, wow. The quickness of Rodgers. I mean, Illinois has some athletes. Meanwhile, Penn State was flow, passing, shooting. Illinois did some of the same things. And they had a game last night that between the two teams, they had, 174 points last night between the two of them? Meanwhile, the second half of the doubleheader was Big Ten basketball. Wisconsin 64, Michigan 59. Oh, just difficult to watch. And I talked about this on the Illinois broadcast. I said, look, there's too many games in this conference right now that are in a phone booth. This game, Penn State-Illinois, that was an entertaining basketball game. Now, I know Penn State won, but I'm just talking about the pure entertainment of the game. The game was entertaining. It had shooting. It had flow. It had offense. It had athleticism, especially on the Illinois side. They got some big-time athletes. It had all of that. Now, that's what you want to showcase. That's what gets fans to want to watch games, as far as I'm concerned. Right? And at halftime, it's 21-16. I mean, I don't want fans sitting there debating at halftime. Should I keep doing this? Ew, brutal. And every coach has to pick a way, by the way, that they think's the best style for their team to win. That I understand. I mean, that part I completely get. But you look at Alabama's ranked number one, and Nate Oates, yeah, and Penn State has played. And by the way, a couple of years ago, they beat Alabama with Nate Oates as the head coach. But he had a first-round draft pick on that team. Penn State won the game in the Jordan Center. But Oates understands what the new deal is in basketball. You know, his offense is predicated on three concepts: layups, free throws, threes. Yeah, you can get a 10, 12-foot two every once in a while. Fine. But the point value is what he is looking for. You know, to go with the athleticism. That's why, you know, I do feel in the Big Ten, there are going to be a bunch of teams in the Big Ten that will make the tournament and deserve to get there, by the way, but are going to struggle to get out of the first weekend because the style is going to catch up with them. You okay? Just want to make sure.
I'm good, yes.
Okay, I'll take that as no. We'll come back. I mean, the next year, you're going to be awfully difficult to work with. I may request the suit back.
Oh, my almighty!
And by the way, it was great. Doug Birdsong stopped by the booth after the game last night, which was great to see Doug, who is...
Oh, he made the trip out last night. Cool.
Yeah. Had his son at the game. And Doug is as top shelf a play-by-play announcer as there is in the country, so... And as is Illinois' Brian Barnhart, who's outstanding. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, the home of the Macatrillo Rant.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake, a service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Are you okay?
I'm good. I've said what I needed to say. Pitchers and catchers reported today. It's all good.
Did you see Jacob DeGrom? They're going to have to hold him out. Tightness. Like, oh, jeez.
Yeah, which is why I laughed at the Rangers at the time for signing him for the contract that they gave him.
Well, you know what's interesting, though, is when DeGrom has been on a run and on a roll, a lot of people, you know, especially Met fans, what do you think he should be in the Hall of Fame? I said, he's won 64 games. That's a low number for a starter. Well, I mean, he's just out too often. When he pitches, he's terrific. When he pitches, he's terrific. But that's the problem. Anytime you have to start a sentence with when, it means you're out too often. It's like I mentioned with... Remember with Aaron Judge, I said, when he's in there, he's great. Last year, he was in there every day. Look what he did.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a great service department that backs it all up for the life of the vehicle. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Joining us now is Chris Soleri, Detroit Free Press. Chris, Welcome. Great to have you with us. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. How are you doing?
Doing well. Obviously, at Michigan State, this is obviously horrific. Penn State, for example, in 1996 had a similar situation happen on its campus. So I know where you're sitting right now. The basketball game with Minnesota will not be played tonight. But first of all, before we get to that, what is it like at Michigan State right now? Because I guess what nothing's happening there until at least Monday on campus with classes and so forth, correct?
Yeah, and they had initially canceled everything Tuesday and Wednesday before they had found the shooter while it was still an active situation. And then it was very shortly afterward that they found the shooter and he took his life. So that was, that's kind of one thing. There was a lot of misinformation is the right word. There was just a lot of information and things flowing around at that point. Some of it was due to confusion. Some of it may have been misinformation. Some of it may have just been kind of the fog of war in some ways. There were reports of a second shooting well away from it, and police had confirmed that on their Twitter, or at least they had posted it on their Twitter. And then that turned out to be false. Apparently, there have been rumors of someone using fireworks that students had, during the active shooter heard potentially and thought they were gunfire. So there was a lot of chaos that was going on. It's hard to say this, but, because three really bright young individuals lost their lives in a classroom setting. Or in the union. And five others are still in critical condition. But honestly, when you think about the things that were happening, of the best case scenarios in the worst possible situation, this was probably it. I mean, the thought that keeps coming to my mind is, how did this happen? But then it's quickly followed up by how didn't this happen sooner? I mean, Penn State understands this as good as anybody. When you have a very large, open public campus like that, people talk about soft targets and things like that. I mean, this wasn't someone that was a student. This wasn't someone that had any type of affiliation with the university or, by any accounts, not sure if he had any grudges. But where are you going to find large amounts of people in small areas, college right. campuses? And, it's that in and of itself, in both ways, kind of leaves you, that it wasn't a student, kind of leaves you nervous that anybody can go do this. There's no easy feeling right now. I mean, it's just an uneasy feeling for everybody and sadness, a lot of sadness and a lot of just, it's going to take some time to heal.
And Michigan State's like a lot of college campuses, if I recall correctly, and all the times I've been there, it's pretty much an open door policy there. At certain buildings, you need a key to get in.
Yeah,
classrooms are open.
I think the dorms after 9/11, that now we're talking 22 years ago, so this generation doesn't even know it. I mean, when I was in college there, the dorms were open free of unfettered access until after midnight. Then you had to be checked in by someone who lived there. That went away, I believe. I think they started locking the dorms at all times after 9/11. Okay. But some of the campus buildings would be open, and then I think they would close them on football Saturdays at that point that they had previously been open. But now I believe the classroom buildings are open. And at Berkey Hall, where the first shooting happened, was a classroom, and it's right next to the union, the student union.
Yep.
Yes, that's how the gunman went in there afterward, right next door, and then left by foot. On and off campus. that quickly.
Yeah, on and off that quickly. In fact, they found him, what, he ended up killing himself a few
miles off
campus?
Yeah.
Sports obviously will not solve any of this, but in some ways will bring back maybe not healing, but a sense of normalcy. So the Minnesota game is off right now. It's postponed. Minnesota went through COVID. Penn State will play them on Saturday night. The makeup COVID game with Illinois is Monday. How difficult is it going to be to find a space to make up this game down the road once some things settle down?
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult because there's only, I think now we're inside of 20 days left in the regular season. And by the time you get to next week, I mean, obviously Michigan State wouldn't do anything at the back end of this week with Michigan coming up on Saturday, assuming right. that game is going to be played. We still haven't heard officially yet. I would think at this point it probably will be played.
I agree.
If you'd asked me 24 hours ago, I would have thought the other way. But I think it's trending that way that they'll still play it. So Michigan State wouldn't do anything this week. Then obviously next week, you know, with a game already shoehorned in there, I don't know if Minnesota would. You know, they obviously wouldn't be able to the following week. So, you know, we were talking about the last week. And the way this schedule has been set up this year, and Tom Izzo has been a very big critic of it, I think at least 12 of their 20 Big Ten games have been 3 days apart. And, you know, in long stretches of three games or a game, day off, travel, game. And that makes it really complex to – on top of the Minnesota schedule issues, to try and just get this jammed in there one more day, and then, oh, by the way, we're gonna you know, wear down your legs in the last week of the regular season right before the tournament. So whether or not that gets, I mean, it might not have any bearing, quite honestly. I mean, Minnesota pretty well seems locked into the last spot. For Michigan State, it would be a win that would be very beneficial in a crowded middle. But, you know, ultimately, you know, I don't know if they end up making this up just because of that. I'm still waiting to hear back a lot of things. Obviously, there's some pretty important discussions that are going on over there right now. And some people have been kind of quiet, not quiet, but, you know, obviously in meetings and doing other things. So trying to wait and hear out what may be the plan for that. And we're expecting to hear in the next couple of days from Tom Izzo, who's also been kind of keeping low after all this.
Yeah, no question. And can't blame them either. I mean, it's just a gut feeling. It's just a gut feeling from 30,000 feet. I think they play Saturday night. But that's just me from 30,000 feet. Michigan State's in the thick of this thing. Their defense has been really good. But their offense has still been not exactly pedal to the floor. How can Tom fix that?
It's a good question. I mean, this team isn't necessarily built that way. To be honest with you, Chris,
this league isn't built that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think they've got 10 guys on scholarship. Based him not going into the portal out of a choice. You know, I think they explored some guys that didn't. You know, that didn't pick Michigan State, and then they didn't just want to add bodies. But I think that the fact that, you know, they don't have a five that can run the floor consistently. They hoped Sissoko would be that guy, and he's struggled with that at times. And, you know, the youngsters, Kohler and Cooper, you know, are playing a lot of minutes for how young they are, but, you know, they're not floor runners, so now you have to try and play around it a little bit. The wings can get out and run more, and I think that at some point, you know, now you're starting to see a little potential for it with Jaden Akins getting back to, I'd say Jaden Akins is back 100% now, and he was going to be one of their big floor runners,
right.
But you still have Malik Hall hampered with an ankle, or the high ankle sprain, stress reaction in the foot that it still causes him issues. So you lose another guy that runs in transition. So it's, you know, it is complex, and, you know, they've the one thing that they have done is limit their turnovers, which, you know, they were 16, 17 turnovers a game at one point the last few years. They cut it down to about 11 this year. But in the half court, they're not getting consistent possessions, and there's a lot of standing around that I think needs to be corrected. And that, you know, a lot of that goes to A.J. Hogard starting to attack north and south and, you know, get downhill and either go to the basket or kick it out. He did it a couple times in recent weeks, particularly the Maryland game, setting up Joey Hauser and a couple other guys. But, you know, I think, you know, for that offense, the key is Hogard, and quite honestly, Sissoko needs to step up as well in the post and provide them a little more than what he's given.
And Hauser can certainly have his moments, there's no doubt.
Hauser's been fairly consistent this year.
He's
comfortable. He's had some bad shooting games, but one thing I have liked about seeing when he does have the bad shooting games, then he starts to work around the basket to try and get a rhythm or hit some mid-range jumpers, which I think have helped him in-game make those adjustments to start hitting outside.
Chris, the Big Ten is going to get a lot of teams into the NCAA tournament. 8, and who knows, maybe they can squeeze a 9th in. Who knows? I think getting out of the first weekend for the vast majority is going to be difficult. The conference is played right now. And look, this is not against coaches. Please, I don't want anybody to think it's going to. A coach has to pick a style to play based on the personnel he has and how to win. So let's take that off the table. But this conference is played in a phone booth, and it's officiated in a phone booth. The rest of the country's playing 94 by 50.
Well, I mean, you know, and that's the thing. Is like it doesn't matter. I mean, you haven't seen really good officiating across the board, no matter which team you watch or follow.
I agree.
You know, there are points where you can say, I mean, there was a 5-second stretch where I think the refs missed a foul at the rim. They missed a goaltend with someone sticking their hand through the basket, and then they missed an out-of-bounds call the other way. So it was, you know, 3 different calls that were missed, and all, you know, for 2 different teams. So and you obviously have to play through that, and I think both teams have to play through that. But it's the constant adjustment in-game, too. I mean, we've talked about this for years, you know, that refs will go into halftime and the game all of a sudden stops being called how it was in the first half and changes into the second half. Well, you're still seeing that. I mean, the Ohio State and Michigan State game the other day, there were 3 free throws in the entire game.
Yep.
And there was a lot more contact than that in that game. So, you know, it doesn't make sense. I think the refs are struggling with the verticality rule of what is and isn't a foul around the basket and above the rim. They're struggling with the freedom of movement rules that they're calling a lot of ticky-tack fouls outside, and, you know, whether it be hand-checking or moving screens or players supposedly sticking a knee out when they've set a legitimate screen. I mean, although Tom Izzo had a really interesting point that the way the pace is right now with the sluggishness, with the calls and all the whistles and everything, that might be how a lot of the games in the tournaments get reffed. So, you know, whether maybe that prepares you for a slower pace in the NCAAs, I don't know, though, because you're right. I think a lot of the teams around the country in other conferences are playing full court basketball still, and, you know, the Big Ten kind of looks at times archaic in that respect.
Right, and that's part, and I'll tell you another part, too. We get to the month of February, I always feel the officiating is the worst. Because, Chris, they're exhausted. I mean, I'm not going to get into the name of the official, because I went through and I looked. This official had been in 12 places in 13 days. He did the Penn State-Nebraska game, and the day before he did Clemson in South Carolina. I mean, how the heck do you get to Lincoln from Clemson? You got to go to Spartanburg, got to go to Chicago, got to go into Lincoln. Right. You're telling me that guy's fresh?
Well, there was a ref that MSU had a couple weeks ago who did a late game on the West Coast and then did turned around and did, I think it was the Indiana game, perhaps, that did an afternoon game the next day in, on the East Coast time zone. So that, I mean, my goodness. I mean, how aren't you going to be? And,
right.
You know, that's, I mean, that's another problem. I mean, there obviously aren't a lot of qualified refs, and they're all reffing every day of the week because conferences don't necessarily have contracts
right.
to just have their own referees. So, I mean, it
right.
is. I mean, listen, we can talk about all these athletes. You know, they're the highest, you know, they're highest trained and best conditioned, and they should be able to run for 40 minutes a game, 5 days a week, or whatever you want to call it. Well, the referees are, there's a physical component to that too, and that does wear on your mental state. So
and
I don't
older.
Know. I mean, I don't know what the answer for that is, but I think that a lot of people are cognizant of it now, and it something needs to give or change in that respect.
Because in the game I was doing, okay, Tominaga went up and the ball slipped out of his hands. He then caught it and then shot a three and hit it. And I'm not going to give the name of the official. I don't want to be unfair here. He said the ball was tipped. Kevin Kugler, Jess Settles, Dick Girardi, and I all looked at each other at the table and go, what was he looking at?
Oh, my goodness.
It wasn't even close. The ball
it
was
is.
Tipped.
I mean, that, it's not just the physical fatigue. It's the physical fatigue that compounds into the mental fatigue like
you
that.
You got it,
referee.
Yep. You got it. That's why I think in the tournament it gets better, because guess what? Okay, my first game's on a Thursday. I arrived Tuesday. What did I do? I slept. I slept
yeah.
Wednesday night. Thursday, I get to work the Saturday game. Guess what I did after the Thursday game? I went back and I slept. And Friday I slept. Suddenly they're rested in the tournament. That's why it's usually a little bit better.
Yeah, I think you might be onto something with that. I
yep.
think that's a good point, because they're not trying to go 50 different sites in 5 different days, you know.
Hey, if I was making the money they're getting per game plus per diem, I'd be trying to get as many games in as possible too.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think that's a real life issue that they need to figure out.
Yeah,
you know, I mean that. Because that does affect the game, and it affects the product in and of itself, too. And, you know, it drives coaches nuts. I mean, I don't think the Big Ten, had they known this ref had gone on the West Coast one night for a late game and then afternoon game in the East Coast the next day, would allow that.
Oh, there are 3-4 guys right now that are doing the Big Ten that are reffing the Pac-12. Like, oh, really?
Well, Chris, just wait, because that might even get worse.
Yeah. Oh, next, yes.
When you add the next group, when you add in UCLA and USC,
yeah.
and maybe other teams, how does that change? You know.
Well, for USC and UCLA, where it's a little more finesse officiating in the Pac-12, Chris, they're in the shock of their lives.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This thing.
Oh my goodness.
Awful time. We dealt with the awful time in the beginning. The end was a little more of a distraction. How about that?
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's hard right now when you've got your real world things in what oftentimes in college environments are sheltered and secured, you know,
yeah.
both physically and mentally. I mean, these are supposed to be the escapes from the class for kids to mm-hmm. go and watch their peers play basketball, play football, whatever other athletic events there are, and you know, when it becomes secondary to real life issues that young kids are learning at a young age. I mean, 18 to 22 is not an easy age in and of itself, let alone to deal with these type of things. I mean, there are kids that there was one student that I had a story on that was in the Sandy Hook shooting as a child and was on campus for this one. And there's obviously Oxford, Michigan had a shooting last year that was very highly
yes.
publicized, and there are students on campus that now are living through their second in a year. So,
yep.
You know, it's nice to think about sports and talk about sports, even sometimes right. when it does feel a little out of place. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I think you said it earlier. At some point, it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be a right time. But it will help the healing to get back to a little bit of normalcy.
And remember, these young people also have gone through COVID too.
So that's right.
They've been through a lot.
You think about this. I talked about this with someone yesterday. We're talking maybe back to the Vietnam War, where a group of college age kids have been living on edge for this long a period of time. I mean, you're talking about 4 or 5 years of their lives, whether it be from the pandemic or college shootings or whatever it might be. I mean, you know, this is, you know, it's like I said a few minutes ago, it's not an easy time in and of itself, but then you add all these things in there, and it's complex. It's complex as a parent to explain to children, and it's complex as an adult to process, and it's even more complex to see these kids going through it.
Chris, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it, as always, my friend.
All right, take care, Steve. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Chris Soleri, Detroit Free Press. We'll come back more next half hour. It's obviously a tough time at Michigan State. We can empathize here. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.